This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka al-amdihi wa rasulihi nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in amma ba'd ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. I welcome our brothers and sisters in al-Islam. I welcome the listeners of Radio Al-Ansar. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project, Hayyakumullah. Another beautiful Wednesday evening, another majlis of knowledge, another majlis of ilm, walhamdulillah. Brothers and sisters, our current series, the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, that scholar, that alim, that muhaddith rahimahullah, may Allah have mercy upon his soul. Brothers and sisters, he lived for a life of plus minus 40 years, but he left behind a legacy that up to this day, tonight, mashallah, we continue in the remembrance of that man. How many a mayor they might have been, how many a minister, how many a king, how many a businessman they might have been, how many the super beautiful woman they might have been at that time, but nobody remembers them today, subhanallah. But the legacy of those who served al-Islam, who spent their time, their effort, their wealth, their blood, their perspiration in the service of this deen, we continue to remember them, subhanallah. When Allah pleased with someone, then Allah announces in the heavens, and then the angels announce that Allah is pleased with so and so, and qabool, acceptance, is written for that person in this world. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, in our previous majlis, we went through hadith number 2021, mashallah, tabarakallah. And that hadith was narrated by Abi Amr, waqila Abi Amra, Sufyan ibn Abdullah, radiyallahu anhu, qal. This companion, Sufyan ibn Abdullah, we had learned that he was from Taif. And he was the one put in charge by Umar, radiyallahu ta'ala an, to collect the zakah from the people of Taif. Subhanallah. Fast forward from the time that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Taif to do his da'wah. Fast forward from that time, and we find the entire Taif, all of the population of Taif, all the residents became Muslim, walhamdulillah. And imagine, just a few decades before that, just a few years before that, they were the ones who ordered their children to pelt the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were the people who said to him that, couldn't Allah find anyone besides you to come and bring us this message to do this da'wah? Subhanallah. Sufyan ibn Abdullah al-Thaqafi, he was from Taif. He was put in charge by Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an to collect the zakah there. And he also narrates 5 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He mentions, يا رسول الله قل لي في الإسلام قولا لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. يا رسول الله, tell me something concise in Islam. Give me some advice with regards to al-Islam. Give me a statement. لا أسأل عنه أحدا غيرك. A statement besides which, I will not need to ask anyone else besides you. After you, I will not need to ask anyone else. What does this mean? It means that this advice, it must be short, it must be sweet, it must be precise, it must be profound. It should be something which is clear, that this companion does not need to ask anyone else about the interpretation. Qala, our Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how did he respond? What did he say? He said, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say, I believe in Allah, and thereafter be upright. Then after be upright, subhanallah. And this hadith in Sahih Muslim. So few words, but profound in meaning. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, the matter of belief, the matter of one's tawheed. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ, and then your ta'a, your obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that this companion, he asked the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this advice. قَوْلًا لَا أَسْأَلُ عَنْهُ أَحَدًا غَيْرَكَ. It must be clear and it must be comprehensive. Basically, as some said, it must be the summary of the da'wah of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the past 23 years. This in reality is the summary of his da'wah of 23 years. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. Say with your tongue yes, but also you believe in your heart, and then obedience with your limbs, with your heart, with your tongue, with all of them. ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ indicates, as we learnt, that the first matter, you sort out the matter of tawheed. Then after this, the matter of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We went through the linguistic definition of istiqamah. We went through various verses of the Noble Quran dealing with this matter of istiqamah. For example, we had seen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say that Allah is their Rabb, and then they are upright. What's the result of this? تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَبْشِرُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ الَّتِي كُنْتُمْ تُوَعَدُونَ. نَحْنُ أَوْلِيَاؤُكُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ وَلَكُمْ فِيهَا مَا تَدَّعُونَ نُزُلًا مِّنْ غَفُورٍ رَحِيمٍ. سبحان الله. Allah states, verily those who say Allah is our Rabb alone, and they stand firm and they are steadfast upon istiqama, for them will descend angels at the time of their death, saying to them, fear not, do not grieve, but receive the glad tidings of paradise which you have been promised. We have been your friends and protectors in the life of this world, and so in the hereafter the same. Therein you shall have all that your soul desires, and therein you shall have all that you ask. A hospitable gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oft forgiving and the most merciful. So that's the result of this istiqamah. Similarly, Allah states in Surah Ahqaf, verse number 13 and 14, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say that Allah is our Rabb, and then they are upright, what's the result? فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. There will not be any fear upon them, nor will they be saddened. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They will be the inhabitants of paradise, and they will abide therein forever, for eternity. جَزَاءً بِمَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. This is a recompense for what they used to do. And what a good recompense, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we discussed istiqama of the heart, we discussed istiqama of the tongue. We also mentioned that istiqama is not an easy matter. Our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered him in the Noble Quran, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتْ, that you should have istiqama as you have been ordered, in Surah Hud, verse number 112. Abdullah ibn Abbas mentions the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got certain grey hairs after that verse was revealed. Why? As he said, شَيَّبَتْنِي هُود وَأَخَوَاتُهَا, that made me grey, made me white, Surah Hud and its sister surahs. Subhanallah. That was the attitude of the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That was the results upon him after receiving those words that you should be upon istiqamah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, we learned from this hadith the zeal and enthusiasm of the companions in seeking knowledge. Look at this companion from Ta'if, and he comes and he asks the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam this very interesting question. We also learn from this hadith that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam was gifted. He would say a few words, but they were clear and they were super comprehensive in their meaning. We learn the importance of istiqamah, the importance of istiqamah and the importance of tawheed from this hadith. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Imam Ghazali rahimahullah, he says that this istiqamah, it must be super important, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordered us to ask him Every single day in our salah that Allah guides us to the Sirat al-Mustaqim, Allah guides us to that straight path, subhanAllah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we had also learned that you will not truly have istiqama until your heart is straight, until your heart is mustaqim. And you will not have a heart which is upon istiqama until your tongue is also upon istiqama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all istiqama. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant every single one of us istiqama, and Allah cause us to die upon Tawheed. For verily the only sin that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not forgive, homosexuality, the person makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive. A person kills a relative and he makes tawbah, Allah will forgive. A person robs, steals, fornicates, falls into zina, does all of that and turns to Allah and makes tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would forgive. In fact, even if the person did not turn to Allah in tawbah, this person died as a Muslim, died upon tawheed, then after he is sorted out, then he eventually will enter into paradise because he had that tiny bit of iman in his heart. But the one who does massive good deeds, but he also commits shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this is the only sin which Allah will not forgive. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ. Allah will not forgive the sin of shirk, but will forgive all other types of sins. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, thus we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to let us live upon Tawheed and die upon Tawheed and upon Istiqamah. Hayyakum Allah. We now move on bi-ithnillahi ta'ala to hadith number 22 inshaAllah. عن أبي عبد الله جابر ابن عبد الله الأنصاري رضي الله عنهما أن رجلا سأل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فقال أرأيت إن صليت المكتوبات وصمت رمضان وأحللت الحلال وحرمت الحرام ولم أزد على ذلك شيئا أدخل الجنة؟ Certain narrations. أدخل الجنة؟ قال نعم. رواه مسلم. Subhanallah. Amazing hadith. Upon the authority of Abu Abdullah Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari radiyallahu anhuma, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, that a man came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, he asked the question to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن صَلَّيْتُ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ. Do you think that if I perform the obligatory prayers, وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانَ, and I fasted the month of Ramadan, وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالَ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامَ, and I treated as lawful that which was lawful, and I treated as haram that which is haram, وَلَمْ أَزِدَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا, and I did not increase anything upon that. Those were the only things I did. I didn't do any good besides that. أَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, will I enter into paradise? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yes. Na'am, subhanallah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we begin the explanation of this hadith. Number one, the takhrij. This hadith has been reported in Sahih Muslim, no doubt with regards to its authenticity. And it has various chains and various versions. In one of them, the man says, by Allah, I will not add anything to it. He took an oath. By Allah, I will not add anything to what I've just asked you. Who is the narrator of this hadith? Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Khazraji al-Ansari, famous companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And his father was also a companion, and his mother was also a sahabiyya. He was present during Bay'atul Aqaba al-Thaniya, the second pledge at Aqaba during the Hajj. He was present there with the other 70, and he was the youngest of them all. He participated in the Battle of Uhud, and he passed away in Medina al-Munawwara in the year 94 AH. In fact, he is the last of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to pass away in the city of Medina al-Munawwara. And he narrated many ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In fact, he is one of the seven most prolific narrators of ahadith. He narrates 1,540 ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Who are those famous seven who narrate the most number of ahadith? وَالْمُكْثِرُونَ فِي رِوَايَةِ الْأَثَرِ أَبُو هُرَيْرَ يَلِيهِ إِبْنُ عُمَرَ وَأَنَسُ وَالْبَحْرُ كَالْخُدْرِ وَجَابِرْ وَزَوْجَةُ النَّبِيِّ. These are the famous seven who narrate the most number of ahadith from the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this was a little bit with regards to the biography of Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhu. So he mentions that a man came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and this man said, أَرَأَيْتَ إِن صَلَّيْتُ الْمَكْتُوبَةِ. Who was this man? Who was this questioner asking this question? Then we found that many of the ulama state it was An-Nu'man ibn Qawqal al-Khuza'i. Nu'man ibn Qawqal al-Khuza'i. He was somebody who fought in the Battle of Badr, and he was a martyr. He attained martyrdom in the Battle of Uhud. So he came and he asked, Ya Rasulullah, Ara'ayta in Sallaytu al-Maktubat. Do you see that if I pray all my fard prayers, all the obligatory prayers, وَصُمْتُ رَمَضَانَ, and I fasted the month of Ramadan, وَأَحْلَلْتُ الْحَلَالَ وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامَ, and I regarded as halal the halal, and I regarded as haram the haram, and I did not do anything besides that. I did not increase upon that. أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ, will I enter paradise? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Na'am. So Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, number one, we learn from this hadith the zeal of this companion. The zeal of this companion in that, you know, him asking questions, he wanting to know. And so he came to the one who knew, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Allah states in the noble Quran, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ ذِكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. And so he went to the man of knowledge, he went to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Somebody might ask, why is it that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam mentioned, the man mentioned the pillars of Islam, including the matter of Salah and the matter of Ramadan, fasting in Ramadan, but he did not talk about, he did not mention the matter of Zakah, nor did he mention the matter of Hajj. Why was Hajj and Zakah not mentioned? Many of the ulama state that maybe this was not relevant to this person. Maybe the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam realized that this man does not have wealth, and so Zakah is not relevant to him. There's no need for him to be paying Zakah. And similarly, the matter of Hajj, maybe the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that this man does not have enough of wealth to perform the Hajj. Thus, you know, this was not mentioned. Other scholars say that this questioner, he died during the Battle of Uhud, and so Hajj was not obliged at that time. Hajj was not an obligation at that time. During the time of the Battle of Uhud, etc., Hajj was not an obligation. Thus was not mentioned in this hadith. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we take a short break, and when we return, we continue. Hayyakumullah. We continue, brothers and sisters, with hadith number 22 from the 40 ahadith of Imam An-Nawawi rahimahullah, your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail of the Al-Kawthar Institute and Imam Development Project. And a quick reminder to our dear brothers and sisters that every one of the ahadith that we've already gone through, the audios are available at the Al-Ansar Media Center and also on the website www.muslimcentral.com www.muslimcentral.com. Hayyakumullah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amatullah, Abu Abdullah Jabir ibn Abdullah narrates that a man came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he says, Ya Rasulullah, do you see, what do you think if I only prayed my fard prayers and I only fasted in the month of Ramadan, and I regarded the halal as halal and I regarded the haram as haram, will I enter into paradise? Our Nabi, our Habib sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, we discussed the name of the questioner. We saw that his name was An-Nu'man ibn Qawqal al-Khuza'i. Why was Hajj and Zakah not mentioned? Maybe because this man was poor and thus they were not relevant to him. Or maybe that this was before them being an obligation. And Allah knows best. Wa ahlaltu al-halal wa harramtu al-haram. And I believe in the halal as halal, and I regard it as being haram, being halal. وَحَرَّمْتُ الْحَرَامِ. I believe that the forbidden is forbidden. I believe that the haram is haram and it is forbidden, and I avoid it. And I do not make the haram halal, and I do not make the halal haram. Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَا تَصِفُ أَلْسِنَتُكُمُ الْكَذِبَ هَذَا حَلَالٌ وَهَذَا حَرَامٌ لِتَفْتَرُوا عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ. That you should not say that this is halal and that is haram, etc. You know, with your own whims and fancies. هذا حلال وهذا حرام. You know, that you're just making up your own things. الله مستعان. لتفتروا على الله الكذب. That you are lying against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Similarly, Allah mentions in the Noble Quran, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تحرموا طيبات ما أحل الله لكم. ما أحل الله لكم ولا تعتدوا. That's Surah Ma'idah, verse number 87. That O you who believe, لا تحرموا طيبات. Do not make haram the good which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made halal. It is not our business, not our job. We do not have any right to make the halal haram, nor the haram halal. And you have a large number of scholars who are of the opinion that making the halal haram is a greater sin than making the haram halal. You have a good number of scholars who are of the opinion that both of them are sin, no doubt. But which one's a greater sin? To make the halal haram without any evidence. This is worse than making the haram halal. Allah musta'an. وَلَمْ أَزِدَ عَلَى ذَلِكَ شَيْئًا. And I will not increase upon this. I will not do anything more. So technically this individual is not going to be doing any nafil acts of worship. No nafil salah, no sunnah salah, no tahajjud salah, no extra fast, etc. This person is not going to do any of that. Our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, maybe he knew that this individual, he would love Islam so much, and then eventually he would do more. Jayid, that the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew that this individual, he would eventually love Islam so much, and thus he would, out of his own doing, do more. And this is also proven from the fact that this companion, he fought in various battles and he was a martyr, subhanAllah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam accepted from him that he would not do anything nafil or anything sunnah, etc. But the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew and realized that, you know what, that if this person starts with the fara'id, then he would love these acts of worship so much that eventually it would lead him to doing a lot of the nawafil bi-iznillahi ta'ala. We also find, subhanAllah, that this person then asks, أَأَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Will I enter into paradise if I stick to this? And our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, yes. It shows that this companion, you know, he was interested going to Jannah or something important to him, getting that success in Jannah was super important to him. And thus, this companion, radiallahu anhu, asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam these questions. And you also find numerous other ahadith where people came to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you know, such and such, will I enter paradise? Or the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, if so and so, if anyone does such and such, then this person will enter into paradise. It shows the desire of the sahabi to know the path to paradise. We find that this hadith here clearly implies that performing voluntary or recommended acts is not necessary for entering into paradise. No doubt. Indeed, by definition, such deeds are not obligatory, and thus, therefore, a person is not sinful if he does not perform them. But obviously, if one does do the sunnah and the nawafil, etc., etc., then this increases one's daraja before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, if a person truly wishes to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earn Allah's pleasure, then he will not neglect the voluntary and recommended actions. There is great reward in their performance, and the more important aspect is that they complete the performance and reward of the obligatory. So if you have any naqs, any deficiencies in your obligations, then your performance of nafil and sunnah will fill up those shortcomings, those deficiencies. In addition, when a person continually, if, for example, a person continuously avoids recommended actions in a general sense, it demonstrates that this person has lack of concern for the deen, and he will be losing a great deal of reward and a great opportunity to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We find that the more one does of good deeds, of nawafil, of mandub acts, etc., the closer one gets to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Na'am, أَأَدُخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ Will I enter into paradise? And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said yes. Does this indicate and mean that, oh, mashaAllah, you know, the path to paradise is so easy, I'll just do all my fara'id and I'll, you know, do the halal and I'll stay away from haram, you know, paradise to Jannah, the path to paradise is super easy? Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, the path to paradise, yes, one can say is easy, but it's also difficult. To stay away from the haram is not easy. To stay away from the haram is not easy. Subhanallah. For example, you know, attending to the prayers, it mentions here, وَصَلَّيْتُ الْمَكْتُوبَاتِ performing the fard prayers, attending to the prayers. This also includes it in the proper manner on a daily basis. You know, it should be that the person stands before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the best of manners. Jaheed, it means iqama of the salah. It means establishing of the prayer. Not just performing the prayer and getting it done. No, no, no. It does not just mean fasting the month of Ramadan, but fasting the month of Ramadan with its haqq. And performing your salah with its haqq. Other points of benefit from this hadith, we learn the importance of the fara'id, the importance of the obligatory actions. We learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawgiver. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawgiver. It's not my job profile to say that this is halal and that is haram based upon my whims and my fancies. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the lawgiver and we abide by His laws. We find in this hadith that the people asking questions coming to the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and asking him, "Fas'alu ahla dhikr in kuntum la ta'lamun." Ask the people of knowledge when you do not know. We also find that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Na'am." The previous person asked the question, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Yes." Yes, meaning what? Yes, meaning that if you pray the fard prayers and you abide by the halal and you avoid the haram and you fast in the month of Ramadan, then you will enter into paradise. Yes. So the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam just said yes, but obviously it indicates what the questioner was asking about. And from there we get that rule in fiqh that the word na'am, yes or no, it includes within it the question by default. It includes within it the question by default. Example, this brother in the masjid, and he wants to get married to somebody, and so the Mawlana, the Sheikh, whoever, they say to him that, do you accept her in marriage? If you just say yes, then khalas, it is understood. It is understood that what you meant was, yes, I accept her in marriage. You do not have to repeat, I accept her in marriage. The yes suffices. Similarly, if somebody asks you, did you divorce your wife, or do you want to divorce your wife, or rather, do you give your wife one divorce? Now, that's much clearer. Do you give your wife one divorce? And you say yes, then technically one divorce has come into effect, because the word yes includes within it that question which was put forward to you, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We also find that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as many of the ulama stated, maybe he looked at the situation of this questioner. Maybe this questioner was a new Muslim. Maybe this questioner was somebody who, needed their fara'id, their obligations to be established, new Muslim. Do not burden him with too much, at the beginning. Rather, step by step, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. And thus the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with a bit of ease, accepted from him no sunnah, no nafil, other supererogatory acts of worship. The man's just going to stick to the fara'id. Well, let him do that for now. Walhamdulillah. And he would love it and he will enjoy it. And thus he on his own would increase with the nawafil and the sunan. Walhamdulillah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah. And with that, we come to the end of hadith number 22, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. As for hadith number 23, then we will read through it bi-iznillahi ta'ala, but the explanation we will leave for our next majlis. Why? Because it is a long hadith and we require the entire session for the explanation of this hadith. Hadith number 22, we will be discussing in our next majlis. عن أبي مالك الحارث ابن عاصم الأشعري رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم that he narrates the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said الطهور شطر الإيمان, that purification is half of the faith, purification is half of إيمان, والحمد لله تملأ الميزان, and alhamdulillah fills the scales. Wa subhanallahi walhamdulillah tamla'ani aw tamla'u ma bayna as-sama'i wal ard. And the phrase subhanallah, he is Allah above every imperfection and need, he is pure and perfect. Subhanallah walhamdulillah and alhamdulillah, what they fill, they together fill what is between the heavens and the earth. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. وَالصَّلَاةُ نُورٌ وَالصَّدَقَةُ بُرْهَانٌ, and salah is a light and charity is a proof. وَالصَّبْرُ ضِيَاءٌ وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ, and charity is a proof. Patience is a brightness, and the Quran is either an argument, a proof for you or against you. كل الناس يغدو فبايع 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 نفسه فمعتقها أو موبقها. That the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said the Quran is either an argument, a proof for you or against you, and everyone goes out in the morning and sells himself, makes effort, sells himself, either freeing himself or destroying himself. And this hadith reported in Sahih Muslim. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, bi-ithnillahi ta'ala, in our next majlis, we will move through the explanation of this hadith, insha'Allah. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, these are hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They are not for us just to sit back, fold our arms and listen and khalas. Absolutely not. Rather, they are for us to learn, take an ibrah, take a lesson and implement bi-ithnillahi ta'ala. Whether it be in my salah, whether it be in my zakah, whether it be in my interactions, whether it's something to do with my behavior, whether it's to do with ahkam, rules, regulations of the sharia, whatever it might be, it should not be that we just listen, we just learn, and we do not implement, we do not practice. Allahu musta'an. Remember, brothers and sisters, the close relationship between ilm and amal. Ilm ayn lam meem, and amal ayn meem lam. The same three letters in both of them, ilm and amal, knowledge and action, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us khair and barakah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala record our sitting in our scales of good deeds. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالُ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. On that day when nobody's wealth and health will be able to avail them, except the one who came to Allah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with a heart which is? With a heart which is sound. Ya Abdullah, Ya Amat Allah, on that note, we end off. Your brother in Islam, Bilal Ismail, حياكم الله. هذا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.